Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only show that counts down the things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Whoa, you're not Patty. Who?
I know, what?
The intro sound, what? Intro sounded people, so weird.
People have just crashed their cars listening to this on their commutes because they're so startled by the change.
We crash more cars than any other podcast. That's a guarantee.
That is really our secret objective. People realizing that the car horns were a problem.
Yep. Gonna get some tweets about that one, you know? People pulling over suddenly to the side of the road. Taking out their registration and license.
Well, yeah, Patty is, he's been abducted by aliens, hence the X-Files sound. But don't worry, we have a wonderful guest co-host this week. Julia Clare is here.
Hi! Hello. Welcome. Thanks for having me. Wow! Incredible.
People are going nuts.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Oh, yes. What are your thoughts on aliens and the X-Files? Do you think it's real? Do you think the X-Files is true?
I've never seen the X-Files.
Asking someone, what do you think of the X-Files, and assuming that they're going to interpret that as, do you think it's real?
Do you think it's real? Very funny.
You're like, what do you think about the X-Files? And they're like, oh, it's really good. And you're like, no, that's not what I'm asking you.
I think that the X-Files, I'm the guy, I think it's like how Harrison Ford was working on a set and then got cast. I think that David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson were like... they got abducted, and then also all the other stuff that happened to them, and then people were like, they might be good at acting, we should put them in more stuff.
It was really smart of the aliens. It was really smart of the aliens to abduct like the two hottest people on the face of the earth.
I was gonna say Gillian Anderson is so hot, it is unbelievable.
I would agree,
and
it is mind-boggling,
and that she could almost convincingly play Margaret Thatcher is a testament to something. I don't know something. What, but it's a testament to something.
It is really incredible. Like her, I honestly thought her Margaret Thatcher was like, it's not that it wasn't good. It was just like, she clearly hates Margaret Thatcher.
That is what
came through in that.
Yeah.
Which is what you want. But
that
like,
is what you want. Yeah. And also, I think that Margaret Thatcher's voice is so... She's like basically a cartoon at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost hard to do a non-cartoon version of Margaret Thatcher at this point.
Yeah. I felt like I saw the picture and they were like Gillian Anderson is Margaret Thatcher. And it had the energy of when they like... You know, they'd find like the like cheesecake photos from like Stormfront or something where they were just like ladies in like hot ladies in like Nazi uniforms. You're just like, just don't do this.
Yeah.
Just,
like,
even if you are a Nazi, separate these parts of
it.
Don't do this.
I don't know. I don't know if even Stormfront is getting horny for Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher pinup sets. But I don't know. I mean, They're a sick bunch, so it's possible.
Yeah.
Wait, have you guys seen the trailer for Spencer, that movie about Princess Diana?
Man, they keep making stuff about
it. I know they do.
Kristen Stewart, right?
Yeah, and I like, just the trailer absolutely blew my mind because I think a lot of people think of Kristen Stewart as like a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
And she gets the voice so exactly in a way that I have not seen anyone else who's portrayed Princess Diana. I like almost couldn't believe it. Oh, here comes the trailer.
It sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very David Fincher, The Social Network.
Ah, yep.
Oh, they're doing a slowed down version of a classic song?
And it's a children's
sung
chorus.
Sung by children?
A children's chorus.
Movies love that shit.
They love to do it. Yeah,
wait,
I think
it was Josh Gondelman who was talking about how The Social Network is about Facebook's least interesting part of their history.
I don't want to make anyone mad. If you like that movie, that's great. I don't think you're wrong, but like, I don't get why people love that movie so much. Like, it really did not do much for me at all. I was just like, oh, okay, all these people are like kind of jerks. That's not like that surprising or interesting to me.
I think Patty's gone. I think Patty's loves that Social Network. I just have never seen it. This is how I emerge unscathed
from
every movie
conversation
seeing. Where I'm just
Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake as what's
not
his
a fan
name,
of
takes,
him. Period.
The Napster man.
He takes me out of it because he is never anything. He's a bad actor, and he is never anything but Justin Timberlake.
He's Justin Timberlake. Yeah,
he's Justin Timberlake. Like, he shows up in a movie, and I'm like, oh, there's Justin Timberlake. That's it.
Yeah. That's sort
of... Well, this goes back to Patty's assertion, like, the other week, where he's like, an actor should just use their real name in all movies. Like, yeah. Justin Timberlake should only play characters named Justin Timberlake. Like, this was his hot take last week. That take was too hot, and now he has been taken off the airwaves and
he's
removed from our podcast.
He's abducted by aliens. Yeah. Yeah. That's too hot. This song is so fucking good.
Yeah, I feel
that,
like...
I don't like Justin Timberlake as an actor, but as a... He makes fucking great albums.
Great music. Future
really
Sex
does.
Love Sound. Like, I feel...
Incredible.
I feel privileged to have come of age in the time of Future Sex Love Sounds. It was such like an iconic album. Yeah, that's right. That's a hot take.
I do think
it was
like...
so good. Also, like, it was so funny during all the Britney stuff when they, like... They've had that documentary and they talked about how like Justin Timberlake doing Cry Me a River was like so cruel.
Yeah.
Which is true. But all that watching that documentary made me think was like, man, Cry Me a River fucking rocks. That song is so good.
It's so good.
Yeah. I do think there's like sometimes a thing where it's like, I feel like so much of being like a really successful like star sometimes is just being having really good taste in what producers bring to you.
Totally.
Just being able to get emailed
especially
to
with
be
R&B.
Like, this is gonna kill it.
Especially with that kind of music, it's so much about like who you're who's producing you.
Yeah,
and, like,
because
the beats and stuff.
Didn't Timbaland produce most of his stuff?
Yeah. I think he did like almost all. I just no longer want to say anything definitively on this podcast because of the tweets. Just like allegedly he produced most of Future Sex Love Sounds.
He
definitely
talk
produced
about that.
Most
I feel
of Justified.
Like, yeah, he did like all the early stuff. I feel like Future Sex Love Sounds was like more of a mix. But Eli, you always talk about like, oh, people are going to tweet it. Like, no one ever tweets. People tweet at me like, I get one tweet every 2 weeks about being corrected. Like, do people really bother you that much? Like, I feel like people don't.
I have a
it's
very
really
low
not
tolerance.
That invasive.
Yeah.
I have a very low tolerance. I don't, anytime. If my phone goes off with a text from someone I personally know, I'm like, oh God, I don't like my phone to go off ever. That's sort of my thing. Anything that makes my phone buzz is interrupting me.
And that's why you're in a room with white walls, an empty room with white walls.
I'm going to go into a monastery. That's what's going to be. I'm going to do.
I'm just, you can change the preferences on your phone.
Oh,
I
know.
And then not have this problem.
Well, that was... Okay. I was being facetious there. But, yeah, I mean, it's fine. Yeah, I do have a Nokia. That's why. It's because...
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that sound in a million years. That was so... Thank you for that, Shelby.
Shelby's hit the Hello Moto once in a while, and that, like, truly sends me through a wormhole. My razor going off in the middle of music class or something.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's why you just
had a razor.
Who didn't?
That's why you get so upset when people tweet at you, though, is because it ruins your game of Snake that you're playing.
Yeah,
it just, like, shuts
hit,
down Snake. And...
About to hit a record on Snake. Also, I still only have SMS, so it costs me so much money to get tweeted at.
It's like a quarter every time someone tweets at you about, like, Animorphs or whatever.
Yeah. Dude, the Snake...
Stop and tweeting
was like,
at Eli.
Yeah. When there were no games on phones but Snake, and then... Like, I think that there is a generation of people that are so unbelievably good at Snake because that was all you had to do. I feel like you could get Snake to the point. I think I like won Snake once where the whole screen is the Snake and then they're just like, throw your phone away. I don't know. Like, you did it.
That's the prize. The prize is that your phone breaks and becomes unusable.
Yeah, it evolves. Evolves or breaks. I was going to say the actor thing, the newest thing for me on that. Again, I have not seen it as I have not seen anything. Chris Rock in that Saw movie, Spiral. Chris Rock is a big one where I'm like, you're Chris Rock.
That's Chris Rock.
You have a very distinctive voice as well. Like,
well, you know, well, that, did you ever see that movie that French writer director Julie Delpy made?
Top five?
Called, like, no.
No.
Just think of Chris Rock movies.
I did see Top Five, but no, it's called like 2 Days in New York, and it's like Julie Delpy and Chris Rock play a married couple, and his name is Minkus, I think. In it, it's very Minkus. Funny.
He's a goblin. Like what? I don't know. Minkus.
But it's like her French family comes to stay with them, and it's hilarity ensues.
Yeah, I can't hear. Anytime I hear Chris Rock, I'm just ready for him to go into like the Bullets bit where he's like, Bullets should cost $5,000. Like that's what I'm just waiting
for.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And I feel
I mean, he's somebody who, like, you don't cast him to do something that isn't being Chris Rock. So it's like he's not like an actor who transforms, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I guess sometimes he's just like different dynamics of Chris Rock. Like sometimes he plays a character that's a little more serious and a little less like, but it's still like, it's him. It's not Chris somebody Rock. Else.
But yeah. Also it's like, this can also be, even though they're totally different, this can also be said of like George Clooney. George Clooney just plays
totally,
different versions
absolutely.
Of himself.
He's George Clooney. And, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's George Clooney.
He's just always pranking people in any movie. Doing pranks and then relating them to late night hosts later.
Doing pranks. He loves pranks.
Loves to prank. Yeah. I do think, I think that I would see Spiral if they would just been like, it's Chris Rock and he's stuck in a Saw room. That's the whole thing. He has to do bits. Yeah.
But. I hate to cut this conversation short, but we have some very important business to attend to. Several things on the agenda. Two of them legitimately I want to tell people about. We're doing a live stream on this Thursday, September 30th at 8 p.m. Patrons only. So get on that Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod. It's gonna be really fun. Where Patty will be back for that. The aliens have agreed to release him for one night.
Patreon.
Yeah, it should be really fun, and we're looking forward to it. And then also we have a live show for everybody coming up, live and in person at Caveat, where we did our last live show. We're gonna have a really great guest for that. It's October 23rd at 7 p.m. We're also doing a live stream for it. Again, if you're on the Patreon, you get a $5 discount on either the live stream or the in-person ticket. So that makes the live stream cost like $3. So definitely check that out. We would really appreciate seeing you there, as long as you are vaccinated and over 21, of course. And the last order of business, arguably the most important order of business that we need to discuss before we go into numbers, is that Fat Bear Week is upon us.
It is Fat Bear Week, everybody. It's
it
back.
Is that time again. Julia, do you know about Fat Bear Week?
I don't. Please tell me.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you've
came to the right place.
Yeah. As you can imagine, you kind of got a good hold on most of it. But Fat Bear Week
the name pretty much does the work for you.
It's the biggest awards event of the year. Oscars, no thank you. Emmys, don't understand them. Fat Bear Week, I love it, and I understand it clearly. Which is that every year this national park holds, this is in Katmai National Park, Alaska, where some of the largest brown bears on earth make their home. And they have an annual single elimination tournament from September 29th to October 5th to decide who is the fattest bear in the park.
And then so they have like great before and after pictures of them, like when they emerge from hibernation in the spring versus now when they're like getting ready to hibernate again. And so I feel like there's a lot of factors that go into it. Like you can go for most improved, or you can go for just full, like who is the fattest bear objectively. They did already crown Junior Fat Bear. That was this past week. And That was Cub, I believe, number 131. I think it did. I send it in the chat.
132 Spring Cub is his name.
132 Spring Cub. Okay. I don't know. I will repost it so Julia can click on this and see.
Thank you.
Junior Fat Bear.
Yeah.
Really roly poly. Really good.
132 Spring Cub gone just completely around in a very short amount of time. Just
Oh my goodness.
Went from sort of bear shaped to just being like, look at him. Plushy pillow.
He's so fat.
He's so fat that he has like his legs have become like stubby because the fat has enveloped the rest of his limbs and it rocks. It's so good. He's like he's just has these little teeny tiny stubby legs and this big belly. It's excellent.
Current excellent stuff. Current 132 Spring Cub could not walk over like a speed bump. Like a curb would just kind of suspend in like a turtle and they'd be flapping around.
Yeah, he gets stuck. He'd for sure get stuck. So get on so the Twitter where they're doing this is explore.org. Explore.org. You can go to fatbearweek.org. They have not opened voting yet, but voting should be open in the next few days. And I'm excited to see what the you know, field looks like this year.
Get in there.
I think September. Get in there. Make your voice heard.
September 29th to October 5th. It is appointment voting. You can only vote between 12 and 9 p.m. Eastern. So be ready. Don't try to do some midnight votes and not have them count. You got to do it.
Yep.
Business hours.
But if you're in line, stay in line.
Stay in line.
Your vote will be counted. Yeah.
This is just them trying to, you know, have people that have low-paying jobs keep them from voting in Fat Bear Week. You know, skew this towards the 1%, but vote it up. We'll obviously have as much coverage as we can of the Fat Bear Week and the competing Fat Bears, which isn't a lot of coverage because we're a weekly show and it only takes 1 week to vote. So, but keep stay tuned for that.
All right, should we do our numbers?
Let's do it.
Number five this week comes to us from Wet Bigfoots in the Discord. Once again, if you join our Patreon, patreon.com/oneatimepod at the $10 level, you too can get access to our story submission Discord channels where we get pretty much all of our stories. We have really geniusly made people pay to do our work for us. So thank you.
Don't say that.
Wet Bigfoots. Thank you, Wet Bigfoots. They sent in this story about scientists have developed the world's whitest paint. And what this is it is apparently the goal of it was not to make the whitest paint. The goal of it was to make an extremely reflective paint in order to cool spaces that could be painted with this. The way that like Vantablack can be like insulation, this was trying to be a cooling thing that wouldn't cause like you wouldn't need energy to cool a space down. And the byproduct of that is that it is extremely fucking white. It is like very bright. It reflects 98.1% of solar radiation. It reflects like way more than it absorbs. And yeah, so it works. It it keeps places where it's painted cool. And I'm just imagining, like, I would love to have my apartment painted like this because my apartment's really hot. But also I would, like, smudge it immediately. Like, it would get stuff on it and it would be so obvious that it was no longer white, you know?
Buying like, sheets that are this color of white. Just
right.
Sleep
like,
in
what
them
do you
once
do?
And it's done. I'm concerned about it in that, like, yeah, I get that part that's like the most white is the most reflected light and it works as air conditioning, but it also makes it sound like the outside of your house, if you painted this white, would be like a crater. It would just be like no ant could come within 20 yards of your house without just being vaporized on the spot, you know? Like if you look directly at this white, you'd need like they're basically it's like eclipse paint where if you look at it, your eyes melt out of your head.
You know, like it makes me think of how like a lot of cars in the last few years have like they've changed headlights and now they're like they like burn your retinas if someone with like a new car is driving behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is like making a house that does that. Yeah. Like it just, yeah, it just burns your eyes if you look at it. You need sunglasses to be, look at your own home.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can absolutely see a scientific study hitting the, you know, hitting news in like 5 to 10 years from now where they're like, it turns out telling every human to live under LED lighting was not good. it was like, it turns out just having light emitting diodes in your ceiling is maybe why we've all been the saddest we've ever been for yeah. like 5 years. But we'll see. It's good.
I recently, a few months ago, changed all the light bulbs in my house to the light bulbs are like sort of a soft pink color and it makes the light like warm, yeah. a little warmer. And like, I really think it has helped.
Is it that Scandinavian company or whatever, Chromalux or something? They do that?
No, it's like, just like regular like Philips or whatever makes light bulbs this color.
Yeah.
So it's like they're not expensive or anything. But yeah, I read some article where some home decorating person was like, it's great. It makes you feel like you live in a genie lamp. And like it kind of does. It's really nice. I feel like I like live inside of a seashell or something. It's very yeah. it's very nice. I feel like it. Recommend.
That's also a weird like sell for a mental health thing. It's like it'll feel like you're imprisoned until you're let out to give someone wishes.
No, a genie bottle trapped... is cozy.
What?
A genie bottle is cozy. It's a nice time.
That's like when they retconned Pokemon because people kept being like, dude, they can't like it in the ball. And then Nintendo was just like, the ball is their favorite place. It's got all their favorite stuff in there. Like, it was that is, something yeah, they actually like, had to address.
Hold on. They don't like it in that ball.
They were like, it can't actually, be good.
The ball is their favorite place. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's like something we've talked about. They love the ball because it's so easy when you make a show or a property that's already obvious nonsense that like nerds try to be like, but what about this? And then you can just be like, yeah, no, it's not like that in this world. Shut up. Go home.
Yeah,
they love it. Actually, they're freaks for the ball. So why don't you fuck off? Charmander loves being wrapped into a little sphere. Yeah, I order. I
it's cool in there. We're not going to show you what's in there, but it's cool. Trust us. Leave us alone.
It's like whatever stuff you like. It's like that in there. I just ordered some of those light bulbs too, and the package got stolen. So enjoy 9 light bulbs, somebody. That you,
Eli, like you're. I feel like you just don't get mail at your house.
Someone in my building is stealing packages, and I've done a lot of thinking about this.
Who it might be? You think it's someone in your building?
I'm starting to think that. Yes, I've been on the case for a while. I'm like very close to doing one of the like taking an empty box and like resealing it with like something in there. Like I'm getting to that point. I'm gonna like invest in one of those like. I'm going to invest in one of those like Apple AirTags or like a Tile and then just put it in a big empty box with newspaper and like a note that's like, you're fucked. And then I'm going to track it and find.
Bag of dirt that says Puto.
Yeah.
It's time. Bring it back. That one.
Yeah. I mean, there's like my building has cameras on the outside of it that are not fake, but I feel like that's a true, you know, once you start asking for camera footage, there's a war. Like it's no longer a thing, but it's also like, I don't get, they steal so much stuff and it's always like, I can imagine whoever stole it, opening it and immediately throwing it away. And I'm like, no,
yeah,
please.
I need those coffee filters.
Like,
yeah. I've had a few things like not show up, but I don't think they've been stolen, but I'm like, I'm thinking about this cause I'm getting ready to move and like, I feel like there are just apartments in New York City that you just won't get mail at and you don't know until you live there. And then you're like, then it's a huge problem. But I like the other night I had I do like a CSA thing and I thought I canceled it this week and I didn't. And so I wasn't home and they were like calling me and like they're just like, we have to drop this off. Like it's we have to do something. So I was like, whatever, just like leave it outside. And someone will probably take it and hopefully they will just eat vegetables. And I will have like donated vegetables to someone who is like,
you've donated vegetables to rats. I'm going to swarm the healthiest rats in New York.
Thankfully, so, like, so it was strong. Still there when I got home, but yeah. Just what I like giving is, them proper... God. If these rats had proper nutrition, like, New York would be over. We can't let them, you know, eat anything but, like...
garbage.
Chicken bones. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
What I like is that the person delivering, like, 4 pounds of daikon to your house is more invested that you get that than someone delivering, like, a laptop to most people who just is like, right. If you're not here, I'm going to throw it at the wall. Like, I got a monitor stand, and it was made out of glass, and they threw it over the gate and just opened it, and it was just a box full of shattered glass. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to need another one of these. I'm definitely not going to be able to put my monitor on this. So, yeah, just don't get mail in New York. Just
yeah, I was going to say
don't get mail.
I've lived here for like 5.5 years, and I've never had a harder time getting mail.
It's impossible.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It just like, and yeah, you don't know until you like move into a place. So I don't know how to like, I'm starting to look for apartments because I'm moving at the end of next month. And like, you know, I can like check the water pressure and like look around for bugs or whatever. But like, I can't do a mail experiment. I can't have mail delivered to a prospective, you know.
Yeah.
Apartment. So I don't know. But we should probably do number 4.
Yeah, I was going to link it back. I was like, maybe they can't deliver the packages because they were blinded by this very white paint. All the prime workers.
Bring it all back home, baby. Yeah. You got it.
Number 4.
Yeah. Number 4, this comes to us from Bussy Galore. This is a story from Suriname. This is similar to a story we've done before. Apparently this is a secret dream of a lot of people in power. I think before it was a CEO. This time it is a guy named Ronnie Brunswick. It's got a J in there. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. If I'm not, it's fine. I'm not going to go into his history because let me tell you, it is checkered. It seems very complicated. But he is the vice president of Suriname. And so what he did this week is he also, in addition to being the vice president, he owns a soccer team called Inter, and a word I'm not absolutely not going to get right. I'm going to say Moengo Tepo.
Okay, you're doing great.
Thanks so much. All these Suriname stories, really, just lock it in. So this is a soccer team that competes in the top division of Suriname's professional ranks. So this is not a backyard soccer.
This is a major soccer league in this country.
Mm-hmm. And Tuesday night there's an international club match, and the vice president of Suriname inserted himself into the starting lineup against. This isn't even within Suriname. They're playing against a team from Honduras. And so he just put himself in. He wore number 61, which is a tribute to his 1961 birth year. Because he is...
Oh, my God!
60 years old.
I feel like you don't want to remind people that you're 60 years old when you're playing... When you're inserting yourself into a major soccer game.
But that's how proud he is of himself. Yeah.
I don't think the other team is going to need too much help to be like, hey, we should target number 61. We should target the old man.
Also, I just like looked up Suriname because I thought it was in South America, but I didn't know where. And I looked it up. And yeah, I didn't realize it's a former Dutch colony. So like all of the names are unpronounceable.
Yes.
Like everything there. I'm just like, it's just weird that it's like it's in like. The sort of Caribbean area of South America, and then it has all of these weird Dutch names. Colonialism, man. Stupid. It's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Suriname.
So how was he
went to the game like with the intention of playing. Like he was sitting on the bench with them. Is that am I understanding this right?
He put himself on the starting lineup, so he wasn't on the bench. He was on the field. Somebody else was on the bench, so this 60-year-old man could play.
So funny.
I guess part of this is his son plays on the team, which also, who knows if his son should be on the team, because if he's willing to put himself on the team, he's definitely willing to put his son on the team.
I'm sure his son was like, Dad, please don't do this. Like, please. Everyone's going to laugh at me. They're all going to know that I'm not that good at soccer. Like, yeah.
There's, I mean, it's funny how, like, there's pictures of him on the pitch and he's obviously wearing the correct uniform and everything, but he's just so obviously, even in pictures from behind, you're like, that is should not be on the field. Like, he is way too old.
There's just like a way that when you're old, like your posture, like, yeah, it's clear that you are not. I just think about like the Irishman where they like de-aged Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci and stuff. And like for most of it, they do a pretty good job and the technology is pretty good. But then like Robert De Niro has to fight someone and it's like the most awkward looking thing ever because he's an old man and like his body is stiff. He can't, he can't physically pretend to be 25. Like that's, it doesn't matter what you do to his face. Like his body is old.
Like, I just like, even if I wanted to play, if I was 60, even if I wanted to play in some, like it would be so painful to do that, like to play.
Right. Yeah.
If you guys were curious, I don't know if you guys want to take it. We could have a little thing. If you guess how many minutes he played, you know, whether this was sort of like, I'll go in and do a penalty kick or something.
I'm going to guess.
I don't even know how many minutes in total a soccer game is, but
I think it's 90. I might be wrong about that, but, I'm going to guess he played 50 minutes. I think he was in for a while. He put himself on the starting lineup. He's not like coming in for a cameo. You know what I mean?
Oh, he might.
I think he played for a while.
No, he might have done that.
He might have just started. How many minutes are we going here?
I'm gonna go short because he's. I'm gonna say like 10 minutes.
All right.
What do we got?
I'm waiting to see if Shelby has the classic sound too.
I think he does.
Are we waiting for? Is it part of the?
No, you say the answer and then the sound plays. That's
how
it works.
I haven't seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire recently. both of you are. Too low. He played 54 minutes.
Oh my god.
Okay, I feel like I said 50. I got real close.
You were very close.
I was way off.
But still too low. Yeah.
I was way off. Damn. And I'm embarrassed and I like
we will be muting you.
This has really made me reevaluate my self-image and my position in the world, and I just don't know if I deserve to be here anymore. But
go take some time to reflect.
Understandable. So he played more than
a
half
soccer
of the game,
by the way. Yeah, a soccer game is 90 minutes, so he played more than one half.
More than half of the game, which I guess would mean that he played the entire first half. There's halftime in soccer, right? Yeah. So then they were like, halftime. And they were like, are you going back in? And he was like, yes, I would like to play 9 more minutes in here. He also played
Ronnie
forward.
Brunswick. I'm looking him up.
He played as a forward. So it's not even like a goaltender or something where he doesn't have to. He like he has to run around like constantly.
Yeah.
And then.
So apparently there has been an investigation of corruption over this. I don't know if you saw no that way. Or if you were getting to it, but
wow.
I just Googled it. And some clubs have now been banned from the league due to it, apparently.
Why are they banned? Why is the club banned? He did this shit. I mean, I guess you can't like ban your vice president or whatever.
It says the disciplinary committee has fully investigated the circumstances surrounding the integrity concerns raised by a video which circulated on social media following the Inter Moingo Tapo versus CD Olympia League match. They've both been disqualified.
This is the equivalent. This would be the equivalent here in America would be if Kamala Harris like put herself on a WNBA team and played for the whole first half.
Yeah, and it's the thing. It's like
also,
it's one game,
really,
and it's like no, the entire really good, playoff. It's like fucked. Like
another really good detail is that the team that the VP played for lost that game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, of course. Good.
They got spanked. They lost 6-0.
Yeah.
And then the best detail in addition to that is that they interviewed one of the guys on the team that didn't have the 60-year-old on it. And this is his quote about, they were like, hey, do you think that guy should have been playing? And the guy who played against the six, who was a defender, so I'm sure he loved playing against a 60-year-old forward or whatever, he goes, it was their choice and they did what they thought was best for their team. We don't get involved in that. Just like,
look, wow. I'm not the coach.
Yeah.
I can't make that decision. I don't know their strategy. Maybe putting the 60-year-old in was their plan.
Did you say they also got disqualified?
Yeah.
That's just competitive.
That's not fair.
As a competitor, if the opposing team decides to play a 60-year-old man, as a competitor, you just say yes to that. You're like, absolutely.
Right.
I hope he plays 54 minutes.
Best of luck to this team. I hope they're reinstated. I mean, it is really funny that like the consequences to this are purely football related and not political.
Yeah.
Like very funny to me. Like this guy, no problem. Still, you know, this is something that the vice president can do. It's just that the soccer teams get disqualified. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's also very good at government and doesn't do anything weird.
Yes,
there.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he has no pending criminal cases for his political, actions.
He definitely is. He definitely is not. Maybe not allowed to leave the country because of some stuff, according to this article. So yeah, he's got some stuff going on. He lives an exciting life. But yeah, our condolences to everyone who had to play with their teammate's dad for 90 minutes and lose 6-0.
Let's do number four.
Number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Number three is a story from Bussy Galore, once again, coming through with the heaters. Story... Look, there's not a lot to it, but I really felt like we needed to discuss it for several reasons. So, Wednesday at the Bronx Zoo.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Julia knows where this is going. So the Bronx Zoo on Wednesday, field trips were going on. People were taking in the wildlife and... some unfortunate events occurred at the gorilla enclosure,
depending on how you look at it.
Pretty fortunate for That's one true. Mammal in particular.
One of the gorillas started sucking another one of the gorillas off in front of a lot of horrified children and adults, and you need to turn that soundbite off. It is very intense in my ears.
Clearly a monkey and not an ape, Shelby. Come on. I think we're new to this game.
So like, yeah, it's a video of two. It starts with like, also the other reason I really wanted to talk about this is because the video is on TMZ, which is very funny to me. Like, it's like celebrity news that these gorillas were sucking each other off.
Yeah.
Like, new relationship alert. Gorillas spotted sucking each other off.
The headline has to be like, tumble in the jungle or something, right?
It's gorilla Bronx Zoo gorillas go downtown in oral sex peep show. With a total of 6 exclamation points dispersed throughout that headline.
Oh my God, that's like my dad wrote that headline. So
oral
many exclamation points.
Can I just say, Julia, the way I'd love it's to see described your dad is like on TMZ, like in the newsroom when Harvey Levin's like drinking a big ass milkshake or whatever.
Julia's
dad is also there. Hello. I've got news about these gorillas sucking each other off.
My dad would be like, the animal kingdom is majestic and we must respect its inhabitants. when I tell you that I sprinted to my boyfriend's house to tell him about this story, I was so excited. I've never been more excited to tell anyone anything.
Which is crazy because that was cross country. It was like a Forrest Gump situation. Mm-hmm. You ran.
That's right. Yeah. And I didn't stop.
The thing about this that's like so interesting to me too is like These gorillas, yeah, I watched the video. They clearly had a prior arrangement. Like, they both knew what this meant. Like, one gorilla just sort of rolls over on his back, and then the other one comes over and starts sucking his dick. Like, it's very clear, like, that, yeah, there was no, like, enticement. It was like, all right, it's time for the dick sucking now.
Also, isn't it too, not that this matters, because we're all allies here, but wasn't it two male gorillas?
It was, yeah. It was two male gorillas.
That's better, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's how God intended.
They have that Spartan mindset, you know?
Now, see, he might be bisexual.
Like, they're right by the window, too. Like, it's really... It seems like they're putting on a show.
And also the gorilla that is on the receiving end literally has its hands behind his head. Like, he's just absolute. It's so funny.
Just vibing out.
It's
just,
yeah. So the gorilla getting head is like clutching the shoulders of the gorilla giving him head and like fully like thrusting into it. Like, it's aggressive. It's like
he has his hand on the back of his head. I'm just kidding.
That is what's happening. He has his hand on the back of the. Yeah, it's like, it's. I mean, the etiquette not great. Like, he's not being super, respectful. But
right.
Well, clearly, this other gorilla they have a safety grunt, Kath. Maybe there's a certain noise that he makes.
Well, clearly this is not the first time that they have done this. So, like, maybe they've already negotiated their boundaries.
Yeah.
And, like, this is something they're both into, you know? But, the panic of all of the people watching this as they are then grabbing children and moving them away.
It's so very funny. It's so funny. And I love, like, I saw this because immediately the New York Post tweeted about it. And of course, of course they did, and they did it in the context of, like, they went on to just talk about how oral sex is very common among multiple species.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, very educational. It. Thank you.
What
New York
was the New York Post headline?
It just seems like, yeah, that's
the
a good
Lape
question.
Shio.
I'll have to look it up. That's pretty good.
I also do think it's funny that they're like. I mean, this almost seems like something you could do as, like, I mean, how much else is there to do if you live in a fucking zoo? How many times can you throw a tire before you're just like, let's just suck each other off? It's like, they could do a study. It's like, we enclose two male gorillas in an enclosure with limited entertainment opportunities, and we're going to see how long it takes for them to figure out that they should just suck each other off all day, you know?
I'm looking at this New York Post article and, like, I don't know. Like, there's a quote from someone who watched it who said, "I was shocked and had no idea that was a natural act," which is like, it doesn't surprise me at all that other animals have figured that out, that feels good. Like,
yeah,
gorillas are smart. Like,
yeah,
you know, as far as animals go, it just doesn't it doesn't surprise me that much. I am curious about other animals who do it.
It's just like a stimulation thing too. I mean, like, I bet if you left a gorilla in a hot tub, it would like start like fucking the jets like at some point.
Probably.
It's just figuring out what was like, oh,
all what's right. This?
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, I hope I'm not put on a list for what I just Googled to find this. But apparently cheetahs, bears, spotted hyenas, goats, and bats all, participate in oral sex. Yeah. There is a whole extremely fucked up Wikipedia article with the title "Non-Reproductive Sexual Behavior in Animals," in case anyone is curious about this. But yeah, man, they do it. Ooh, there are some pictures.
Animals be have any of them run to 69, or are they only doing
probably
taking turns?
No, they're definitely because I think there was another zoo-related story of two. Of two animals in that position.
I'm not going to Google animals 69ing, so you're going to have to guess whether that's a thing they do or not.
Two cheetahs discovered in flagrante compromising positions. Man, that would be the funniest thing to find a cheetah doing. Because everyone's thing about cheetahs
69ing?
Is Or just doing anything that's not running really fast. Where you're like, oh my God, a cheetah. I hope it's running. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, it's sucking another cheetah's dick.
I got my
cock. What is that?
I hate that. I don't know what that is, but I don't like it. It's also like a gorilla. I get what it's like. I feel like a cheetah can't suck a dick. Like it has like big fangs and it doesn't have lips. Like just seems hard. Just seems hard to work out. But well, good for them for figuring it out, you know?
I would argue that's probably why like the gorilla doesn't want to get jerked off because they're too strong. It's so dangerous.
It's really dangerous.
I don't know what could happen.
I guess what I'm saying is that cheetahs don't have DSLs. That's like basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Really a very toothy, but yeah, gorillas, a very you don't toothy want... blowjob for yeah. them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you definitely don't want a hand job from a gorilla. That's like a really intense
we'll stand
a really
by
intense
that.
Thing for
that's
sure.
A what a yeah. time guaranteed. New t-shirt. You don't want a hand job from a gorilla. There's like a Spencer's gift section of the gift shop at the Bronx Zoo that has like the funny ones about getting sucked off by a gorilla.
Yeah, man, this Wikipedia article is a mess. I feel like I should not be on it for any longer than I am, or like my computer will just lock up. It'll be like, you're not allowed to be on the internet anymore.
This is one time Wikipedia is definitely bad, because you are currently browsing a community-sourced animal. I know. A community-sourced article about animals sucking each other off.
Yep, there was a picture of a bonobo jerking off that I did not want to see, that I was then subjected to. Like, no thank you.
Dude,
imagine being like the person who put the picture of the bonobo jerking off on Wikipedia, and you're like, yeah, I contribute. I'm a community contributor.
It's like so gross. I don't even know if like there was like an explorer, some sort of like actual like you know, like biologist who went to somewhere in like I think the Arctic or whatever to study a specific type of penguin, and he got there, and all the penguins did was like. Do necrophilia. That was like their main thing. And so he has all these, but he's like still doing it. I think it's in the time where he's still like drawing sketches and have like photos. And so there's all these entries from this guy's voyage where he's like, these penguins are fucking awful. It's like they won't stop doing necrophilia to each other.
That's so funny. Like you go and you think you're gonna have this like moving Jane Goodall experience where you like bond with them, and then you get there and like they're fucking necrophiliacs.
Oh my God. You think it's going to be, you literally have watched March of the Penguins. You think it's going to be beautiful and cinematic, and Morgan Freeman is going to talk about the majesty of penguins. It's
just, once again, they have started to do necrophilia.
Yeah, there like was that Goodall was the last section on the Wikipedia was about that. I mean, she probably did. She probably saw them sucking each other off. Like,
how could you not?
This is not the first time this has happened. Like, gorillas have figured this out before, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this I think, like, our ancestors definitely just thought gorillas were, like, another type of guy, I think. Like, I think they were just like, yeah, it's those weird guys.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that dumb guy is back. No. Dude, that guy's so hard to talk to, and it's a gorilla.
Yeah. There's like, ugh, what a drag. Terrible conversationalist, that guy.
He's eating ants.
He just
again.
Tries to get me to suck him off. Big deal. You can use a tool to get ants.
Oh, he's getting riled up again by the fire. He's freaking out. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Should we do number two?
Yeah, let's do it.
Number two, this story comes to us from, from Chris in the Discord. This is a story, finally a mystery has been solved. There was a gravestone that has been missing for 150 years in Michigan, and they could not find it. They finally...
Was it like a famous person's gravestone or something? Like, why...
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think they've been like, I don't think the local police department has been on this the whole time, but it's definitely been in their files where, you know, So they've been looking for this. They finally discovered it. That they found it in an estate auction site recently. That, you know, this woman was no longer, she's not dead, but she, you know, was no longer of sound mind. And they hired an auctioneer to come, like, tally up everything and auction it off and stuff. And he went into the kitchen, and there was a big slab of marble in there. And he goes, oh, okay, cool, marble, you know. And then when they looked at the bottom, it turned out it was this old lady's gravestone.
Oh my God.
And that this grandma.
So they flipped
it
over, and it was just a headstone.
They had flipped
it. Like, face down.
Yeah, they flipped it over, and it was like a monument. So it was one of those gravestones that's, like, flush with the ground, you know? And so they.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they flipped it over, and, you know, it immediately said, like, R.I.P. Grandma. Like, she was a good woman or whatever.
Great tits.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's what I want on my gravestone.
Great tits.
Great tits.
Yeah.
That's what I'm requesting, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's a good. Oh, sorry. It was okay. So the guy was. It was a grandma was using it, but it was Peter J. Weller, who died in 1849 in Lansing, Michigan.
Okay.
His grave was moved in 1875 and never arrived. So,
ah, okay.
And then they just used it as transit. A countertop?
I don't know if somebody just sold it as marble and they were like, don't look at the back of this. So yeah, now they're going back to work restoring it. So I don't think that the family
like
knew this
big
either.
Too.
What?
That's what's it's over 5 feet tall. It's like a huge granite slab.
I think it was basically an island. I think it was like a kitchen island. It just turned out to have been.
Yeah.
Every food we make has been cursed, and we don't know why. So I don't think the rest of the family knew what was on the other side of it, because they were like, "Hey, did you know that your grandma's like kitchen island is like a dead person's monument?" And they were like, "Oh my god!" And they were like, "What did you use that for?" And they were like, "We make fudge on it." So I guess when you're making fudge, you need like a cold surface. So they've just been chilling mm-hmm. this monument and then folding up a bunch of chocolate fudge. Cursed fudge, truly.
Cursed fudge, absolutely.
Forbidden
imbued
fudge.
Imbued with the spirit of Peter J. Weller.
Yeah. Here we go, the courage, the cowardly dog, like, return the slab, and then you just give him
this
fudge.
This is the slab.
Yeah.
He's yeah.
Like, pretty good. I don't know why the mummy sounds like Don Pardo, but, you know, Don Pardo sort of sounds like a mummy, right? Who sounds like
I think that's Who's more what it is. Don Pardo sounds like a mummy.
Yeah.
Like always. R.I.P. Don Pardo sounded like a mummy.
I love
now
that
he
the person.
Is a mummy.
I love Don Pardo, and I love that the person who they based off of him on 30 Rock, like, was like senile and couldn't pronounce anything.
Yeah.
It's like, hello, Lurs.
Very good.
And Jenny Wickers.
That is a really good bit. A really good bit at the expense of stroke victims. Always welcome. Always
yeah.
welcome to me.
Well, I think that's just a general thing. Like, because those sort of jobs, like, you know, you can do them for so long,
yeah.
even past when you'd
yeah.
have to retire somewhere else. You know, like, it's not like
voice stuff. Yeah, you can be like 1,000 yeah. and still be doing voice acting.
Because there's definitely points where there's like. Like with sports commentators, I think, where someone's been like, you know, it's like they've been the voice of the Cubs for, but then there comes a point where it's like, hey, we're not sure he knows what's happening.
Yeah, no, this is a big problem in wrestling. There's Jim Ross has been a commentator for like 30 years, and like he has like an iconic voice, but like he is so old. He has Bell's palsy. He like doesn't know. He works for AEW now, and he, like, calls it WWE all the time. Like,
oh,
people
no.
are, like, every, the other people on commentary are clearly, like, Weekend at Bernie's-ing him, like, through the show. And it's, like, he seems like a sweet guy. Like, I think he wants to keep working, but it's, like, man, this guy, he don't got it anymore. He does not yeah. have, like, he, let him retire. Pay him to stay home. Especially because it's fucking COVID. Like, stop making this ancient man travel to shows. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a problem.
It's like, yeah. I'm in Michigan right now. We were listening to, like, a football game on the radio, and I think one of the announcers was getting there because it was like not making a lot of sense, and he was completely ignoring the color commentary guy. He was not responding at all.
I love that.
And there was so much dead air. It was crazy because it's a radio. We were in the car, so it was radio. So it's like a football game. Everyone's listening to hear what happens. And there were like, no joke, like 10-second pauses where nobody said anything. Like, is this on? And then one time he was like, a big booming bunt right into the end zone. And it's like, that's bad, sir. Sir, they're not trying to kick it into the end zone. Oh, God. Someone check on him. What's going on? Yeah.
Anyway, this gravestone. Did they return it?
Yeah, they're returning it, but they also don't think they're ever going to find out what happened, how she got it.
Yeah.
None of the family knows how it got there. And she's like, because she has, I think she has Alzheimer's. So she's like, doesn't know what's going on.
It's been missing longer than she's been around. So like somebody, you know, the crime took place a few generations ago, it sounds like.
Yeah. I don't know how that could be a good, like thing, like a good grift. That you're supposed to deliver a gravestone and then you just don't do it. Like, it seems so easily traceable. It's like, hey, where's that big marble gravestone?
It's actually one of George Clooney's famous pranks.
Turning a gravestone into...
I was worried about time, so I had to cut us off when we were talking about that. Like, you can't... I feel like it's such an abuse of being handsome to be like, oh, I do pranks and people love it. It's like, dude, if you did not look like George Clooney, people would not love it.
I know.
Like, people would be so annoyed by you. Stop doing fucking pranks.
One of his, like, famous pranks that he always tells a story about is that he took a human shit in someone's cat box. And, like, the more he tells that, it's like,
fuck
that's
you.
Crazy. It's like you're an adult man. Like
that's like sadistic. That's fucked up.
Also, but it's like if someone pranked me like that and then they were like, "Hey, did you notice your cat's poop was pretty big today?" And you're like, "Yeah," and then it's like, "Ha, got you. I shit in your litter box." And I was like, "Dude, did you like take off your pants and like shit in my basement? Like you need to go. Like we're not friends anymore. That's crazy. Why would you do that?"
Yeah. It's like, again, hey, did you notice your cat shit was really big? I was like, yeah, I took it to the vet to like get checked out. Like, you owe me emergency vet bills. Like,
yeah, I think whoever it was.
Because I clearly did not deduce that George Clooney shit in this box. I thought my cat was sick. Like, this is not good.
You got to tell that vet, too. Not into it. The vet's like, hey, I'm calling to check in on, you know, pickles or whatever. And you're like, oh, that's fine. It turned out that George Clooney like took a shit in my litter box. Anyways, yeah, no, the cat's fine.
The cat's fine. George Clooney, however, is no longer welcome in my home.
The vet's like, well, George Clooney has worms, so if you could tell him that, been doing some work on George Clooney. It's not looking good.
Not a healthy man.
Well, I guess congratulations to this ghost on having their shit settled.
Yeah, hopefully this brings vengeful. Them some peace.
Yeah.
Gravestone fudge. I mean, I feel like you should leave offerings of fudge at his gravesite now, you know, like put out some fudge. Yeah.
Ghosts love fudge. You know, it's like old candy like we talked about last week. Like, you know, a little...
Werther's Original.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A sleeve of Necco wafers.
Neccos, yeah.
You burn Neccos incense.
You put a sleeve of Necco wafers at somebody's gravesite, it's like you are confident that they are staying there. No one's taking those. No one's swiping them. And also, I don't think they like degrade. Like, I don't think even ants want them. Like, they're going to stick around.
Oh, ants would be more likely to use them for like a structure. They'd be like, oh, this is good building material.
That's why plaster. When
an old person dies, you put one Necco wafer over each of their eyelids to pay the fare.
River to pay the ferryman.
And then those penguins show up and they're like, we're here to do necrophilia.
Interspecies necrophilia.
Yeah, at least that didn't happen.
I heard someone was dead.
Yeah, that's the worst part of a gravekeeper's job is having to shoo away all the penguins from the graveyard.
All the horny penguins.
They're trying to squeeze through the fucking fence. Get out of here.
Stop. It's what we like.
Horde of pervert penguins.
We love it.
Every night.
And they're like, this isn't allowed to be the thing you like. You have to find a new kink, all right? This is not one of the cool ones.
No.
Yeah. Look, they can't help what they're into. And what they're into is just apparently anything dead. It doesn't even have to be a penguin, as long as it's dead.
I mean, I think the Arctic is just anything that's warm. It's the dead that
makes it. I think you're probably right. I think that's probably part of it.
Way too far into it, I think they're just like. Yeah. Oh man, but yes, congratulations to you know, reinterring this monument, making it whole again.
Congratulations to everyone involved.
Yeah. You've picked up on the vibe of the podcast perfectly. Yeah. Sort of. Good luck with that.
That could be like the other name of our podcast, pretty much.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Wow.
Let's do
what a great outcome. Congratulations.
let's do number one.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
This story, I'm excited Julia is here for this because Julia is a Massachusetts raised person. This is a story from Massachusetts for us. This is from Iguana Helium Cube in the Discord. So up in Boston, like in a lot of places, there's a little bit of a quote unquote labor shortage. We can challenge whether that is the correct term for what's going on, but basically they can't, a lot of jobs, like there are a lot of vacancies, to do these kind of more sort of low level, like service jobs. And one of the problems is that there are not a lot of school bus drivers in the Boston area. And thus,
I know this story.
You really keep up on the beat that we are.
You're the most tracking. Informed weird news guest we've ever had.
Yeah, I think we've ever had. Yeah, so an 11th grade AP language and composition class from Brook Charter School in Boston. They went on a nice field trip last week. And unfortunately, due to the school bus driver shortage, they had to take a party bus, which had a stripper pole and neon lights. Yeah, a full-on party bus.
One of the deluxe party buses.
Which, like, yeah, they're just playing Pour Some Sugar on Me while they went to, like, the Museum of Science or something. Yeah. Like,
just Buck Cherry a-blasting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that it's an AP class,
too. We're going to the Isabella Gardner Museum.
Yeah, exactly.
We're on our way to Frederick Douglass's house in the party bus.
In the party bus. I don't know. I can't figure out where they were going. I've been trying to... It's not in the story where they went, and I'm sad about that. But also, like, have you guys ever been on a party bus?
Not as a child. But yes, as an adult, I have.
I've never been on one.
Have you
I did
been?
for somebody's wedding. They rented one. Like, they literally like mostly rented it just for transportation because that's like what you get. Yeah. And there was like, oh well, it's also we can drink on it. So like, well, even no one's But the people that drive those, like, they're not more qualified to be around kids.
No,
like you're not. No. They're not. I don't know if you want them really. Piloting a field trip. But yeah, I love that it was AP students. Just like
I know, I was just
going to
say that. Mm. I love that it's like the brightest students from this particular school.
They're on their way to the Mathlympics. But yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I've been on a couple party buses, and a party bus driver's main, like, qualification is that they're willing to ignore almost every safety regulation.
Yeah.
Like, what makes them a party bus driver is you can just be like, hey, can I drive? And they'll be like, sure. Like, they just let you do whatever you want.
Arguably they enable more, like, their job is also to enable you to break more rules.
Yeah.
Like, having enough, because we were like mostly using it for transportation, and the party bus driver decided we were not having enough fun and like was really enticing us to have more fun. And we were like, we're literally just like going to a place to get like wedding party photographs taken. Like, we're not, but no, the party bus driver was not satisfied with that.
And I feel like there's just like an unspoken thing about every party bus that there is not a party bus in the country that is street legal.
Like,
Like, I know there's like any bus, you know, has that thing where it's like, if you go down, it's not going to be great. But like most of them have like the suggestion of seatbelts.
Yeah.
The back of a party bus is like, it's shaped like a hot tub. And it's like, if you crash, it's going to be, there's a pole in the middle of it.
Yeah. There's a pole in the middle that you are going
to bisect it, dude. Like, there's no way you
cut you in half.
Yeah. Party buses shouldn't be allowed to go over like 5 miles an hour with the amount of safety they have. Yeah.
It is insane that they are allowed. You can't, you should not be able to pole dance on a moving vehicle. That should not be allowed. I remember one time when I lived in Austin. I have this very vivid memory of comedians Chris Tellez and Ashley Barnhill, I believe, were who it was. Very funny. Check them out. Anyway, they we were like drunk at a bar and like bars were closing or whatever. And there was a party bus because Austin is like bachelorette party like central. There was a party bus like stopped in traffic outside the bar. And we were all like getting ready to go home or like figure out another plan. And they literally just ran up to the party bus, knocked on the door, and the party bus let them in and drove away. Like, they like hitchhiked on a party bus. Just like, we're going to make friends. Yeah. And they did. They opened the door and they got on and they just sped into the night.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever followed up about what happened on that to them, but
we'll never
they were never seen again. Yeah.
I like to think that the party bus did its best. Like, it had the champagne bucket, but it was filled with like milk, whatever, like little, you know, classic school lunch milk cartons or something. Mm-hmm.
Right, just, it was like a wet bar, but just with chocolate milks. Yeah. Very good.
No, it was milk with mixers. It was regular milk, and then there was like strawberry syrup.
Strawberry chocolate coffee, syrup. Yeah.
Yeah, all the different mixers that you need for your milk. Also, I feel like somebody... The one thing that I would say is good about putting a bunch of kids in a party bus for a field trip is that that driver has... There's no driver more equipped to deal with one of those kids throwing up. Like,
yeah,
that's
true. True.
They're probably pumped. They're like, these kids throw up so much less than the adults I have on this bus. Like, volume-wise, it's tiny.
I feel like it's a problem, though, because I feel like the main field trip challenge when I was in school that the teachers had to face was like, we got to get these kids to stop fingering each other on this bus. Like, we have to...
Not the AP class.
I don't know, man. High school kids love to finger each other on the bus. That's like the main thing about being in high school.
Okay, I did not have this experience in high school at all.
Yeah, I also did not have this experience.
I was in AP classes too, but I was probably among the least sexually active of my AP classes.
Like, please don't get me wrong. I was not being fingered or fingering on a bus, but like it was happening. It was going on, and teachers were constantly combating it. And I just feel like putting a bunch of kids on a party bus is like, you're sending real missed messages when you're like
fingering each other on the bus. That's so crazy.
But on the other side,
I feel like this is, I'm surprised that you guys are so shocked by this. I feel like this is a epidemic in our schools.
I feel like those like long trips, you know, like the 7-hour bus rides or something. But also,
not like a 20-minute. That's true.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, like the party bus might actually, because the party bus has so much less coverage to hide behind, because it's like I said, it's like hot tub shaped, where the buses are like kind of, I mean, it doesn't even, adults on mega buses are probably, there's at least one person getting fingered on there.
That's true.
Like,
that's true.
Oh, you guys aren't just hanging out under your big fucking Pittsburgh Steelers blanket or whatever. It keeps moving.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe it's better. I just feel like the vibe is very much, this is a place where fingering is encouraged.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that I'm glad that female pleasure was so prioritized at your high school, Kath.
No.
I don't think the fingering was really about female pleasure. I can't.
No, you're right. That's true. That's true. I do think that so much of early fingering that happens is very kind of stabby.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's exploratory. It's not like I don't think anybody is really having like a good time.
Pamela Ross, my friend Pamela Ross has a very funny joke about that, about how when most guys finger her, it's like they're trying to retrieve something that's stuck in a vending machine.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
that's what it is, trying to get a quarter out of a payphone as well.
Yeah. yes, just like, you know. Yeah, random aggressive stabbing motions. My favorite fingering joke is Martin Urbano used to have a joke where this joke requires you to understand the air quotes gesture if you're listening. And he said, like, oh, my girlfriend just broke up with me. I can't believe it. She, like, I can't remember the setup, but she was like, I guess it's because I fingered her like this.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah,
you know,
fingered her like this with air quotes is like the fun.
It's so funny.
Been in my head for like 8 years. Like, I'm obsessed with it.
It's
fingered,
you know,
her
it's,
like this. Yeah.
These teenagers with questionable sex education, it's a natural jump for them to be like, hey, if women enjoy having sex with a penis, I bet they would enjoy it more if the penis was really skinny and had a little claw at the end of it. A little hard nubbin.
Yeah. That's really what everyone's going for. Fingering is like the craziest.
Criticizing high school fingering.
Well, like,
those idiots.
I get why they don't know. Why they don't know. Porno fingering looks crazy.
It's so crazy because when it's like girl porn, the girls always have long nails.
Yeah. Hell, what? That seems terrible. A nightmare. People with nails who actually finger women have short nails on the fingering fingers. Yeah. Like, that's a thing. That's like a flagging thing. But yeah, in porno, they're just shoving acrylics up there.
Oh. You guys should never watch This Ain't Nightmare on Elm Street XXX. That's horrific. So bad.
Oh, no. Man, Freddy Krueger's sex life, tough.
Not great.
Real tough.
Wait, Kat, where did you grow up?
Concord, New Hampshire.
Okay. Yeah.
So like an hour north of Boston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, I'm sorry to our listeners that apparently there is multiple catastrophic emergencies going on outside my apartment during this recording. There's just been sirens like this entire time. Anyway, Concord, New Hampshire. Hour north of Boston.
Really slutty.
High school fingering capital.
Slutty.
Of the world.
Well,
another thing that happened at my high school, I have one brief story and then we can wrap it up.
Oh, I'm invested though.
Another thing that happened at my high school was they banned grinding at the dances. And I was gone. I was like graduated. But my brother was in student government at the time and had to give a talk to the entire high school about what constituted grinding and why it was not allowed. And
that's so funny.
He was like 14. Like, that just seems like the worst possible thing to have to do ever. But he survived and apparently was not bullied to within an inch of his life. Yeah. So,
well, at least his voice was changing while he did it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, best of luck to the party bus driver.
Guys, please just don't rub up against each other.
14-year-old party bus driver, new character.
Stop it.
Good luck to him. I would say it's not the worst outcome of worst situation for a party bus driver, which is where you pull up to where you're supposed to pick up the party and a bunch of penguins get on with a dead body.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
That's your last day on the job. That really tries your patience.
Oh.
Classic callback to necrophiliac penguins. What the show is all about.
Get it on the wiki. It's part of the thing now.
Should we do plugs?
Yeah. Let's plugs. Plugs, 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 plugs.
Everybody! Plugs. Plugs. What a time. Oh, actually, Julia, you do your plugs first. What do you have to plug for us today?
Oh, you can listen to my podcast with Kate Willett, another very funny comedian, Reply Guys. We put out a new episode every week. I just did a very fun interview with comedian and editor at the New Gawker, George Severus. He's very funny. And you can follow me on Twitter at @OJuliaTweets. Clearly, I'm keeping up with all of the grossest stories on the internet. So there you go.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you for doing this. This was so much fun. Our plugs, we, as I said, have the Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod. We're going to be doing a live stream on there on Tuesday night at 8 Eastern time. Me, Eli, and Patty. Maybe a guest. I don't know. Maybe a guest or two. Who knows?
We're considering it.
We're considering it. We also have the live show at Caveat in Manhattan October 23rd at 7 p.m. Please, we would love to see you there. Get your tickets. We're going to have our guest for that announced shortly. If you're on the Patreon, you also get a discount on those tickets to Caveat. You also get a code for free shipping on our merch store, which is whatatimepod.bigcartel.com. Lots of t-shirts and hats and mugs and cool stuff like that. Our Discord is free to join. It's really active and fun. There's a really good community in there. And then if you join our Patreon at the $10 level, you get access to those private channels where you can suggest stories to us. We're What a Time Pod on Twitter, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. Please give us 5 stars on iTunes. And I think that's everything, right? Oh, we're going to be talking about a beaver attack on the bonus. So,
it's true.
You know, subscribe. Mm-hmm. I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We release 2 free episodes and 2 Patreon-only episodes a month. I think that's all I have to plug. What you got, Eli?
I don't got much. I have a couple stand-up shows coming up, and I will probably just, if you follow me on Twitter at Eli Uden or follow me on Instagram at Chili's Restaurants, I'll probably be posting about those, and you'll get more information. Thanks again, Julia.
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Julia, and thank you to